it's just in me. My pastor. Yeah. I went over there talking about my pastor. She your pastor too. But she my pastor. You know, I thank God for pastor. I truly do. I thank the Lord also for the time that we had yesterday. Oh, my God. The house of prayer. Man, these folk praise the Lord. I mean, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. They took one, I think it was two verses. It was two verses because I was sitting there like, I started singing the song, help me, Lord, help me, Lord. Help me, help me, help me, Lord. Help me on my journey. Help me on my way. Help me, help me, help me, Lord. They just kept singing that. But, you know, the woman over there started it. And some people was, two young people were next to her. She was singing and she was singing and she was singing and singing. And they were rocking her and they was rocking and they were rocking. She got tired. Then that lady took over the same song. Help me, help me. Then it jumped in the pulpit. Brother Ricky started singing. I said, Lord, look at her. Look, we don't need all of that. We just need the fire of the Holy Spirit. We just need the Spirit of God to jump on us and just sing and wear them songs out. I mean, man, they wore, they rang that song out, and I was up there. I was just, man, I mean, I couldn't. Tears just rolling down my eyes. I'm like, Lord, I mean, what a place to be on a Saturday morning. What a place to be. I mean, Brother Michael just, you're talking about a teacher. They say he's a teacher, not a preacher. He said he liked to be an evangelist. I said, man, you a preacher, a teacher, and evangelist, all rolled up in one. He preached to some, taught to others, and evangelized everybody. Man, I had a ball over there. I mean, God just moved in that house. I said, man, I didn't know y'all did it like this over here. And Brother Rick said, yeah, we did today. So I'm glad we picked the day. Lord picked the day for us to be over there. Didn't he, Pastor? We've been trying to get over there for Saturdays upon Saturdays upon Saturdays, but we couldn't get there. But God knew the right Saturday to have us over there to help us. I mean, man, I was helped. I don't know about nobody else. I was helped on yesterday. And yesterday was Saturday, and I was ready to go to church. And I didn't think I missed Sunday. So, oh, my God, I mean, we just had a blast. I thank God for all of you all that came out this morning. Man, I mean, just driving over there, it was a two-hour drive. I was just so mesmerized at what God does, what he has done, what he can do. He give man the skill, the knowledge, to cut, I mean, mountains. I know I was in the mountain because I'm seeing them up there, my ears closed up. And, man, we rolled through this big rock. I mean, you just see how it was just blasted and made away. And them roads healing, they was all twisted. I said, Lord, you are a wonder. And, man, God can do the same thing for us. And man, he can move the mountain out of your way. He can make them crooked paths straight. God wants to do it. He wants to make them straight. God will make them straight if you just keep on knocking, asking them to help you like they were doing. They just kept saying, help me, help me, help me, Jesus. Help me, help me, help me, Lord. We need some help. I thank the Lord. I mean, God wants to move in our life, and God's going to move in our life. Just a reminder, a friendly reminder, that next Wednesday is the second Wednesday. You know, so don't put that on, go ahead and put that on your calendar today. Don't wait till you leave. The second Tuesday, what's going on with this Tuesday? I keep saying the second Wednesday. We got to be doing something on Tuesday, Pastor, because I can't get Tuesday out of my heart, my mind. But the second Wednesday is coming up. This is the time that we set aside that we will all come together on one day, on one accord, and cry out to God. It is a time to pray. There's always been a time to pray. But if we ever need them, now. We sure enough need them right now. If we ever need God, we sure enough need them right now. There's too much going on in the land, too much going on in our house. You know, and the devil just got us watching and, you know, what he's doing again and, you know, not really seeing a bigger picture, you know. But God wants to move for us. The devil has got a plot to destroy your life. He's been plotting on us for years. The devil has got a plot to get rid of us. But God got another. He got another plan. He's got another plan. I'm going to read now the book of Daniel chapter 6. And I want to read this one scripture, 2 Peter 2 and 9. And if I can title this thing, it'd be A Plot on Your Life. The devil got a plot. He's looking to steal, kill, and to destroy you. He don't care. He's come to wipe you out. But God, only but God will be there to deliver you. Father, we want to thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity, Lord God, to come before you, Lord God. We come boldly this morning, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, where we can find the grace and obtain that, find mercy and obtain that grace, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, for being a protector over us, God. We ask God right now, God, that you will watch over us today, Lord God. Keep us, Father God. Hide us behind your cross, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Father God, that you will use me for the time that you have allotted me, Father. I ask God, as always, God, that the Holy Ghost will speak to me and speak through me. Lead and guide me. Speak to my mind, God. Control my tongue, Father God. God, use the words, oh God, in my mouth, God, to heal, God. Use them, Father God, to build up and edify and encourage, Lord, this morning. Father, I just thank you right now, and I give you praise, God. I give you glory. I give you all the honor, Lord. We ask that you look on those that are sick this morning, God. God, we pray that you touch and deliver them, Father God. Look on the homeless this morning, Father God. We ask that you continue, God, meeting their needs, Father God, touching the hearts of your people, God, to go out, God, in the highways, in the hedges, oh God, compelling them, God, to come, God, meeting, God, their every need, Father, in the name of Jesus. We ask that you will bless, God, every church house, God, every church house, God, whose doors open in the name of Jesus. Use them, Father, in the name of Jesus. We give you praise, glory, and all the honor, and the church will say it. Amen, and thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'll read this first scripture, 2 Peter 2 and 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. He know how to do it, don't he? God knows how to do any and everything, God. He can do it all. He said, which one of you all have been my counselor? Huh? Nobody knows his thoughts. Nobody knows his mind. But God knows how to do it. He know how to keep you. He know how to deliver you. The enemy will come in like a flood, but the Lord God will lift up a standard for you. You got to believe that. You got to keep on quoting that. You got to keep on speaking that. The Lord going to lift up a standard for me. And the Lord will lift up a standard for you, just like he lift up the standard for Daniel. We're going to be talking about Daniel. I know you all familiar with this story about him being in the lion's den. But we're going to dive right on into it and see what the Lord will say. And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which shall be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because of an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Here it is, these people knew that the king needs somebody to set over these princes and these places, and they thought that they would be the one. But God chose the king, chose Daniel. He was preferred above all these princes because the Bible said he had an excellent spirit. Oh my God, I wish I can have that excellent spirit that Daniel had. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none accusation nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error found in him. Man, you talking about a perfect and upright man. You know, they couldn't find no fault in him at all. They couldn't even find him, as we would say, tripping. They couldn't find him slipping up. You know, I wonder why Daniel was like, he was like that, had that excellent spirit. What brought this excellent spirit on this man? He was a boy when he came in. But this time I found out, Pastor, that they say when he got put in the lines, that he's about 70, between 70 and 80 years old. Believe that? Devil don't care how old you are, you know. But God don't care how old you are either, you know. Young and old. That's what David said. When I was young, now I am old. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So it don't matter how old you are. Just got to know who you're serving. As Paul said, got to know whose you are and who you are. So they couldn't find no fault in him. And they kept on trying to trip him up. Then said these men, we shall find an occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Aha. Uh-huh. And then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains shall have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm, sure decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the lion's den. Here it is, okay. We got him now. We got you. The devil think he got you now. So we can't find no fault in Daniel. The devil can't find no fault in you, but he can find some fault in you and your God. He know how you love God, how you serve God, how you worship God. He know that you're going to obey God. You're going to do what God tell you to do. Let's find an occasion y'all to bring to the king. That, oh, king, for 30 days, we want you to, we know how pomp and the splendor that you carry, how gracious you are. You know, everybody just decided. The captains, the counselors, you know, the elders, everybody decided, can't nobody ask any other God for any request for 30 days except it be to you, O king. How about that? They thought they had Daniel. Now the king established the decree. I guess it sounded good to the king. Well, go ahead and make that decree. Go ahead, y'all. Thank y'all for lifting me up. You know, the flesh loves to be lifted up. It loves to be pampered. It loves to have that pat on the back. It loves for somebody to talk how good you are. Boy, I tell you, Brother Al, man, he's a good one, man. But man, Lord, I'm like brother. Lord, search me and know my thoughts. Try me and know my heart. See if there be any in there. You know, whatever the wickedness that's in there, bring it out. Because it ain't hidden from God, it's hidden from me. And so he loved it. So now the king established the decree and signed the writing that be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which alter not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. He didn't sign it. Now sign, seal, and deliver. You know, that's how the devil think he got you. Sign, seal, and deliver. I got you now, Daniel. I got you. Now when Daniel knew that the writings were signed, he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled up on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave God thanks as he did aforetime. Look here, when Daniel knew that this thing was signed, he knew about what the devil had plotted, what the devil wanted to do. The Bible says that he went on anyway with his windows being open. Most folk probably would say, okay, well, I can't do that, so I'm going to close my window so they can't see me. Daniel left his windows up, all of them. It said windows. So every time you walk around my house, you'll see me on my knees praying, but not one time but three times a day. Now you say, yeah, I ain't going to look. And he said, look, as he did aforetime, how many of us still serving and worshiping God like we used to before the doctor gave us some bad news? How many of us are still serving and worshiping God when the job said that you might lose your job? How many of us are still serving and worshiping God the same way? How many of us changed? Daniel didn't change. He said, not one time, but three times. Three times a day, I ain't changing my schedule. I ain't changing it because of school. I ain't changing because of lunch. I ain't changing because my wife called me. She got some honeydews for me. I got to get on my knees at the set time and set day like I've been doing. The king, the devil ain't going to make me afraid. And so we got to know that when the devil comes in, we got to still be on our post. We got to still do what we've been doing. So often, so many people have stopped doing what they used to do. That song that says, you know, O Zion, what's the matter now? You don't pray like you used to pray. Zion, what's wrong with you now? You don't even shout like you used to shout. Zion don't pray like they used to pray. They don't fast like they used to fast. Zion has changed because something has happened to Zion. We don't do what they used to do. We don't fast like they used to fast. We give God a crumb. You know, I ain't saying that they were all right, but man, they were fasting and praying. It make me want to reach for the stars. You know, they got some things done. They probably didn't get it all done. They left some for us. Like Joshua said, look, God told Joshua, I'm not going to destroy all the Amorites. I'm going to leave some of them behind. He's leaving some of this stuff for us to do. You know, we can't sit around and let the elders take the reins and do it all and they tired and, yeah, you can do it. You can do it, mama. You can do it, pastor. You can do it, mother. You can do it. Yes, y'all can do it. But what can we do? What can we do? What's in us? There's something left in you. God put something in you, too. So how many of us are still worshiping God? How many of us still coming to prayer on Wednesday nights? How many of us still coming to Bible study? We stopped. Daniel didn't stop. Daniel didn't care about no law. You know, my kids told me that my older boys, when they was going to school, kids used to pray up there at the high school. When they came out with this business about you can't, no more praying in the school. My kids come on and say, Dad, you know, they told the kids not to pray no more. I said, yeah. He said, they all out there. They get out there every day at the flagpole, and they still praying. They ain't stopped. Look at the youth. Look at the young people. God called the young because they're strong. And they told us, look, they told us we had to have we got this great big meeting. And they said, well, the supervisor, which is non-union, we union, it behooves y'all to go to this meeting. We going to. Everybody need to go to this meeting. I'm like, what's going on in this meeting? Everybody got talking about, well, they finna start laying off some folk. Well, you know, they just laid off 30-something people. I said, yeah, I heard that. Man, they laid 30-something people. That's a shame. And stuff got all out of order. He said, you going to go? I said, no, I ain't going to go. He said, why ain't you going to go? I said, I'm going to hear about it. Man, we might lose our jobs. I thought to myself, I heard this before. So I had to call my son and encourage him because I know they was in his ear about he just started. He'd been there a year or two. You're going to lose your job. I called him and said, look, don't you worry about your job. Your job is safe. I said, all you got to do, baby, is pray. I said, God didn't give us these jobs to snatch them away from us. And if he do take them away, God got something greater for us to do. He got something greater. God is not going to leave you hanging. I said, don't you worry about that. I said, you going? He said, no, Dad, I ain't going to go. He said, we're going to be all right. I said, that's right. You got to touch and agree. We got to be all right. You got to know for yourself. And you got to speak that word. You got to say it. Put it on out there in the atmosphere. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And so I say, what the hell? What you going to do? Always me. I'm thinking to myself, well, why don't y'all ask somebody else what they going to do? I said, well, I don't think I'm going to go. I don't think I'm going to go to this one. Well, why ain't you going to go? I said, well, ain't nothing too much I can do no way there. I said, I'm sure I'm going to hear about it. You all going to come back and you're going to tell it all. You know, people love to tell the bad news. And they don't leave nothing out in the bad news. But in good news, they leave a lot of stuff out. What about this? Wasn't this supposed to happen? But they just give you all. And sure enough, I come back. But guess what day that meeting was supposed to be taking place? Guess on what day? It was on a Wednesday. And I say, I am not missing prayer. In fact, some people call and say, are you, we having prayer on Wednesday? Or we going to come on up? I know I wasn't missing then. We had some company come in. So I'm like, no, I got to be on my post. I said, the door's got to be open. I said, no, I'm not going to go. And so it was the same thing that when the devil told us that we was going to strike. And Lord, and they got on me and said, well, why ain't you out there picking? And you're supposed to be out there picking it too. I felt bad because I was new at the time. So I better do what these folks say do. You know, that's the law around here. When we strike, you pick. You walk that line. So I got there one time. And after that one, when I was out there, the Spirit of the Lord said, I ain't called you to do this. He said, I called you to pray. He said, if you would pray. You tell them if we would pray. And it don't take a whole lot of people because I couldn't tell nobody but one person. And we began to pray. We began to fast. We cried out. And that year we got a great contract. Nobody lost their job. Look, the devil going to try to sell some wolf tickets. He's going to try to tell you that what the king said, what the world is telling you to do. This is what you got to do. You ain't got to do what the world do. You got to do what God tell you to do. If he say pray, we got to pray. Pray without ceasing. And so they told, so Daniel said, I don't care about no law. He went in as he did before. And it's time for us to do what we've been doing before. We used to be in this church on Wednesday nights and we had Friday night service. The devil done something to us. Paul said, oh, you foolish Galatians. Who have bewitched you? How'd you err from the truth? Oh, man, the devil got a plot. He's trying to destroy us. But these men, the Bible said, verse 11, these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Daniel didn't skip a beat, man. He didn't skip a beat. When the devil or trouble comes your way, what they gonna find you doing? When the doctor give you bad news, what they gonna find you doing? When they say this is gonna close, that's gonna close, what they gonna find you doing? Most folk, boy, when they said that, people were running around afraid. I'm finna go and look for me a new job. I'm finna go and do this. And I'm finna go. I said, man, you ain't got to go and do nothing. I said, don't you know? I've heard it once. I said, look at these guys been here 40. When I say 40, 40 years. I said, don't you know they ain't heard this umpteen times? So if you don't stand for something, you're going to be falling for everything. You're going to be running all over the place talking about you looking for a job. You go to that next job, they got problems too. I got to find me another job. Get yourself somewhere and get established. That's what Daniel, he was establishing the Lord. He knew who his God was. He knew that, I got to be on my post. I heard what the king said, but hey, look. But Daniel knew something else too. I heard what the king, the prior to King, what's his name? King Ahasuerus, what he did to my three brothers. I heard what he did to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because they wouldn't bow to the image. They put them in the fire. They put them in the fiery fire. But my God was stepped on in there with them. He was the fourth man in the fire. God would be the fourth man in the fire. He'll be that fourth man right there with you. Don't think you're going to be walking through the fire by yourself. God's going to always be with you. But you just got to have faith and believe God. I don't care what your circumstance, what your situation is, but the things, think about it, saints of God. Our circumstances and our situations right now, they are grim sometimes. But keep living, as the old folks say, or older people say, elderly, seasoned people say. keep living. We're going to see things worse than that. It's going to get bad, but they found David. They found Daniel still on his knees praying to his God three times a day. Three times a day. And he didn't care about that. That you might lose your job. You might lose your life. You might lose things in your life. The might is a possibility, is based on an unfilled condition. I might lose my job. Or we might lose some things. But it's a condition based on something that's not fulfilled, it says. So if it's not fulfilled, if just think if you fulfilled it. If you fulfill what's not fulfilled, what you think's gonna happen? I might lose my job if I don't fulfill a condition that God has for me to do. We might lose this championship had we not played a little bit harder. So what God is telling you, play a little bit harder. Fulfill that obligation. Daniel was fulfilling his obligation. He wasn't worried about no lion, no tiger, no bird. He wasn't worried about no king. He wasn't worried about them folk that was plotting against him. It wasn't the king that was plotting against him. It was the people that hated David. They were jealous. You got people out here that's hating on you. They don't want to see you succeed. They keep telling you why you keep praying. How long you going to pray? God ain't heard you yet. You need to stop praying. You know? But you got to fulfill that condition. You got to pray without ceasing. Pray in the morning. Pray in the evening. Pray in the noonday. Pray at night. Pray when God gets you up. Pray, pray, pray. It's all about prayer. Because I'm going to tell you, when you don't pray, ain't nothing happening. But the moment you start praying, that's when the devil start bothering you. Because, you know, when you start praying, God starts moving. Things start to change in your life. And he see the change coming. And he's going to try to get you off your knees, get you off your chair, get your mind off on something else. He going to try to bamboozle you. He going to try to make you swerve from the faith. Yes, he will. He'll do it. But Daniel, he continued to pray as he did. Three times a day. Then they came near and spake, verse 12, before the king concerning the king's decree. And they said, "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that asks a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save the king, O king, shall be cast into the den of the lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which alter not." You know what he's saying? That thing is true. We can't go back on what I said now. You know, God can't go back on his word. You know, if the king can't go back on what he put in place, God can't go back on his word. If God spoke a word over your life, then it's going to be so. If God said it, then all we have to do is say amen. We just got to say amen, because when God can't lie, the king can't change his word. The king won't change his word. The king of all kings won't change his word. And then the king went, when he heard these words, was sore. Did I skip a verse? Yeah. Then they answered and said before the king, "That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regarded not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. he ain't only doing it one time, king. He's doing it three times. They're trying to get the king mad at him. But they don't realize that the king is on his side. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. He was mad because he didn't check things out. He should have checked this stuff out first before he made this decree with himself to set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Here it is. The Bible says that this king was so upset to where he labored when he found out that Daniel was in trouble. He labored. I believe the king, when he labored, I don't know if he was praying, but I believe he was up in the men's face saying, "Yay, look, I'm the king. Now, come on now. Y'all got to bend with me a little bit. This is my boy Daniel. You know, that's my wife. Y'all got to give me some leave. This is my pastor now. Come on now, y'all got to let me change." So he was laboring, you know, pleading to the people, you know. That's one of my favorite people, which they knew, you know. Y'all got to get him, let me get him off the hook. Think they let him off the hook. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law and the Medes of the Persians, that no decree nor statute which the king established shall be changed." So that may be your boy, but you got to keep your word. We want to see him destroyed. That may be your girl, your sister. That may be your best friend, but you got to keep your word. We don't want to see them go into nothing. We don't want to see them prosper. We don't want to see them with nothing. We want to destroy him because he think he all that. He think he'd add in a bag of chips. Then the king commanded. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. Then these men assembled to the king, and they told him that no decree, no statute of the king that the king established should be changed. Then the king commanded that they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of the lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, will deliver thee. Here it is, the king is on his side. The king said, look, Daniel, I got to put you here, but the God that you serve continually, day and night, he shall deliver you. The king know more. He know more something. He know more than some of the saints know. The God that you serve, that same God that you've been serving last year, all these years, he shall deliver you. It don't make no difference, Daniel. We're going to put you in. I got to do it, Daniel. I got to do it. But that God going to deliver you. Whatever God brought you to, he going to bring you through. There ain't no testimony without no test. Ain't no coming out if you ain't going through. You got to go through. But God is going to bring you out. God going to deliver you by a strong hand and a stretched out arm. God going to do it. By his own self. And the king said, he shall, not might, the God you serve continue. He will do it. God going to do what he promised you. Don't you be afraid of what you're going through. God promised to make you the head and not the tail. You're going to be the head and not the tail. Just hang on in there a little while long. Stay on your knees and keep praying. Keep seeking God. It's going to change. All things, the Bible tells us, work together for the good. Even in a lion's den, it's working good. Even in the fiery furnace, it's working for your good. Even when the floods, the water come up on you, it's working for your good. Even when your husband, your wife, your best friend walk out on you and leave you, it's working for your good. Because God is on your side. He's going to deliver you. And they said, and a stone was brought and laid it up on the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Look, the devil, he ain't changed his mind about us. He's still after you. He don't care how saved, how long you've been saved, how full of the Holy Ghost that you have, how much tongues you speak in, how much love that you got. The devil's thoughts ain't changed about you at all. He still wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to tear you apart by all means, any means necessary. He ain't changed from the time, I believe, but before God said he knew, told Jeremiah, I knew you before you was formed in your mama's belly. I wonder if the devil was saying, yeah, come on out, because I got something for you. I wonder if he was there and said, yeah, come on out. And I think it says in Revelation that the devil's standing there waiting for the church to give birth so he can devour. Huh? The devil ready to devour you. But God is saying you can stand all you want. You can stand as long as you want. But you won't touch my child. You won't touch my servant. You ain't going to touch my prophet. You ain't going to touch my son, my daughter. You can stand there all you want. Just think about Job. You consider my servant? Yeah, I consider him. You take that hedge away from around him, I bet he'll curse you. God take the hedge around you so the devil can touch you. Not only you, he touched your family. He touched Job. He touched his family first. That can make Job curse him. That can stop Job from serving the way he served God. Then he touched Job's body. Boils all over his body. The devil, I'm telling you, you got to realize when you start going through, know that God's got a plan for your life. Know that God got a way for you to come out. Know that God's got something greater for you waiting for you on the other side of this test or that trial. Don't just sit there and say, oh, well, that's what the doctor said. Yeah, well, that's what it says. But you got to realize and come to an agreement with one thing, what the word say. You got to get in there and start searching in this medicine cabinet. You got to see where it's found that in here that I don't care what I got, what the doctor pronounced over my life, that he said that he healed all manners of sicknesses and diseases. He said that he would not leave me nor forsake me. This is what he said. You got to get in there. He said, I'm the Lord thy God that healeth thee. I won't put none of these diseases up on you that I brought up on Egypt. This what he said. I heard what the doctor saying. But I got to look in my medicine cabinet and see what he's saying. I got to look in this book and see what my destiny is. He said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts of peace and not evil. To give you such an expecting end. So don't think that where you are now, that's your destiny. You got to keep moving. God said, no, you got to get on up. Come on out of that place. You got to keep moving. So then, verse 18. God is a good God. He is a mighty God. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Oh my God, he had got the king fasting for him. Lord have mercy. Neither were the instruments of music brought before him. And his sleep went from him. He just was loving on this man. Man, you talking about, and this man, let me mind you all, David's in captivity. He's a prisoner. You know, he's supposed to be in bondage, but he got the king on his side. What I'm trying to tell you, you know, what you going through, but you got the king on your side. You got somebody great on your side. You got somebody that's calling the shots on your side. Man. And he the Bible says he didn't want no music. He didn't want nothing, no joy brought to him. Ain't no great joy in seeing my son go through. Ain't no great joy. I don't want to hear no music. I don't want nothing. I can't even sleep. I'm up all night just pacing, wondering what's going on down in that lion's den. What's happening to my son? Well, God ain't pacing. That's us pacing. What's going to happen to me? Oh, woe is me. God's sitting on his throne. He's sitting on his throne saying, be still and know that I'm God. That's what God is saying. Look, you ain't got to pace. Be still and know that God is God. And then the king arose very early in the morning and went into a haste, went in haste unto the lion's den, and went. And when he came to the den, he cried with a loud lamentation. Lamentation voice, it says, unto Daniel. And the king spake, and he said to Daniel, oh, it wasn't no joyful cry. Oh, Daniel. It was one of those, he was one of those cries that he thought Daniel was gone. He said he was lamenting. Daniel, my son, Daniel. And he listening. He don't hear nothing. Daniel, oh my God. Hear God calling your name. My son, my daughter. This king didn't hear nothing at all. And Daniel, the servant of the living God, this is thy God whom thou servest. Oh, where am I? Where am I? I lost my spot, Lord God. Yes, 20. And he cried to Daniel. Daniel, servant of the living God, this is thy God whom thou servest, continue able to deliver thee from the lions. Could he deliver you, Daniel? He still ain't hearing none. Could he, Daniel, deliver you from out of this? That's impossible, Daniel. It's impossible what you're going through. Don't think that it's impossible that you're going, whatever you're going through, that God can't deliver you. It's all possible for God. Everything, all things are possible for God. Just heard that testimony this morning. The woman didn't have to wait the next day. The Lord blessed her that day. That's the kind of God we serve. You ain't got to wait long. I keep saying you ain't got to wait long. All you got to do is exercise the word. Use the word and use your faith. God will move for you quickly. He said, I do a quick thing. God gonna do it. Shall you not know it? He said, I'm gonna do it. We got to believe God is able to do it. Then said Daniel unto the king, oh, king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me. Look at her. Say, oh, king, they ain't touched me. No hurt came to me. No harm came to me. Not a scratch came on David, Daniel. Not even a claw. They didn't touch him. The Bible said that the angel came and shut the lion's mouth. And I believe he shut his mouth, and I believe he's down there just laying on this big old teddy bear, this big old lion, this big old, boy, I don't know how it feels to lay up on a lion. Daniel can tell you how it feels to lay up on a lion. He walking around. I don't believe Daniel was over here in this corner watching the lion, and the lion over there with his mouth shut. Mm. I believe Daniel was over there. My boy. That's a good boy. That's a good old lion. You know, the Bible said that the angel came and closed his mouth. That God is going to shut the people's mouths that's talking about you. That's trying to devour you with words. God finna shut their mouth and cut them off. He said, oh, king, live forever. This lion didn't do me no hurt. Oh, Lord, that live forever. These tests and these trials that we're going through, they didn't do us no hurt. We just got a little afraid and started shaking and shimmering and getting doubtful. Look at you. You're still alive. You're still healthy. You still got your strength, your right mind. Whatever you went through didn't do you no hurt. You're still here. You're still praising God like you used to. Come on. That's something to give God some praise for. You know, you're going to have some troubles. You're going to have some trials. You're going to have tribulations. In this life, you're going to have them. But know that God is with you. God going to deliver you. If he was with them in a fiery furnace, he's going to be with you. If he was with Daniel in the lion's den, he's going to be with you. God is going to be with you. If he was with them in the wilderness, God going to be with you. He didn't bring you this far to leave you. He ain't dropping you off nowhere. God trying to take you somewhere. God was trying to do something for Daniel. But he needed Daniel to be obedient. God needs us to be obedient. I'm going to continue to pray. I'm going to keep on praying. I ain't know you've been praying for years, Brother Al, but it ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. God ain't through blessing you. He ain't through blessing me. God ain't through. I told you, 2023 was for you. You went through some stuff, and 2023 ain't over. We might go through a few more things, but the same God, that same Jesus who delivered them, that same Jesus would deliver you. That's who was in that lion's den. That's who was in the fire. That what the king said. Then we put three people in there. I know we can count. One, two, three. But he said, I see a fourth one. And he knew what, and he knew who he looked like. A heathen king said, I know we put three, but there's a fourth person in the fire, and he looked like the Son of God. And we don't even know who. We act like we don't know who God is. He's a heathen trying to burn up some folk. Know who God is. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Everybody gonna know who he is. Because the Bible said that every tongue gonna confess, every knee gonna bow, that Jesus is the Lord. He's the Lord of all, Lord. So Daniel said, oh, king, live forever. The lion, they didn't do me no hurt. I'm all right. I'm coming on out. And that lets me know that I'll let you know, too, and let my enemies know that I didn't do no evil. I didn't do no wrong. But we get things mixed up. We know the Bible tells us that we're supposed to obey the law of the land. And people think that they're supposed to obey all these wicked heathen laws that they put in place. The law, we got a law. We got a law above the law. We got a law. This is the law we're supposed to obey. Righteousness. Holiness. This is the law that we're supposed to obey. And people think that they're supposed to do everything that the government tell them to do. You ain't supposed to do that. If it's anything against the will and the commands of God, you have every right, and I think you better step away from it. You have every right to step away from those laws, because God has given us a law, and we got to look into this law of liberty and find out what we're supposed to be doing. Know your rights. Got to know them. And then the king was exceedingly glad. Jesus is glad. The Lord is glad. He's laughing. He's singing over us right now that you still stand, that you didn't let your test, you didn't let your trial take you out of this race. Come on now. You can't get out of this race. It's too late in the day. It's time. It ain't time to drop out the race. You know, stay in the race. We almost there. We're almost at the finish line. Folk are leaving. They're getting out of the grace of God. Saying, well, God knows I'm still saved. And they're going back to what they used to do. You can't go back to what we used to do. We got to continue to pray. Continue to ask God for that old path where there is good, he said. In that old way. Not in my old way, in that old way that they used to do. We got to ask for, seek him, and go in that old way. He said, well, there's good, that you can find rest. You find rest in those ways. We can't find no rest in all this new stuff that we're doing. We find something new, we go to something else new. We find something new, and then something else new. We don't stick with it. So you may as well go on back. You may as well go on back. And so the king was exceedingly glad, commanded that they should take that Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was shut, for Daniel was taken up out of the den. And no man of hurt was found upon him, because he believed God. All through this Bible, God just wants you to simply do one thing. Believe him. What did Jesus say? Only believe. Just believe that God is who he say he is. Just believe. That's all you got to do. Believe and know that God is God. Know that God got your back. Know that God going to provide your every need. Know that God is your healer. Know it. You got to know it. You can't let the devil get you all been all out of shape. I got this thing, but my wife, she didn't let this trouble her past. I can say she didn't let the last two that she went through trouble her. She went through like a soldier. And that's what Paul told Timothy, didn't he? Endure the hardness. We got to endure the hardness as a good soldier as unto Christ. There's some hard things that we're going to have to endure, saints. Some hard stuff we're going to have to do, but endure them as a good soldier. God called you to a battle, a war anyway. He got to endure those things. And the king commanded they brought him out. And the king commanded, and they that brought those men which had accused Daniel and cast them into the den of the lions. Them, their family, their wives, and the lions had a mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces. My God. Ever they came at the bottom of the den. Look. My God. Here it is, the devil trying to destroy you. You know what the enemy meant for your bad? God turned it out for your good. Oh, I mean, not just the men, the children, their wives. I would have been asking for a divorce. Can I divorce him, King? I wasn't with that. You know, that was them old silly men over there. Why we got to pay for it? But God got rid of all of it. He got rid of everything. That's what God is telling you. He's going to get rid of all of this stuff that's messing with you. Everything that's been ailing you. Everything that's been getting on your last nerve. Everything that you say that you can't bear. God said, I'm going to move it on. I'm going to destroy this thing. God going to destroy it, and it's going to be no more. That's what Moses said. Look, these Egyptians that you see today, you won't see them no more. This test, this trial that you're going through today, I don't know what it is, but God knows. You won't see this one no more. You coming out of this thing. You coming out of the lion's den. You coming out of the fiery furnace. You coming out of the flood. You going to come out of it. Not just you. If the king got rid of the men, their children and their wives, oh, your wives, your husband, and your children going to come out of it. He put them in and going to bring you out. Hallelujah. He going to do this thing. Then the king Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages. He made sure, didn't he? all the people, the nations, and languages. Go get that interpreter. You know, if you can't hear, get that man. Do that sign language. I want y'all to know. I want you to know something today. And God want people to know something today. He said, all the people, the nations, the languages that dwell in all the earth. Man, this king, boy, I tell you, God wants, he wants to be known, don't he? He said, peace be multiplied unto you, first of all, but I want y'all to know something. See, the king couldn't change that. He couldn't change that, his writing. You know, he couldn't change it. What he wrote about that, who don't bow down and all of that, serving other gods, but besides him, he said he can go back on his word. You know, this is what the devil is doing today. This is what our government is doing today. They got all these laws. A law govern this law. Need a law for that law. Oh, that law messed up. They know they can't just change. They got to get a law to govern a law to try to make it better. They must have got this from this king. But they ain't getting it right. This king got it right. He said, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivered and rescued. He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in the earth, who had delivered Daniel from the power of the lion. Here it is. This king said, he know. He said, I'll make a decree that this God, you got to serve this God. This God, you got to bow down. He is the one that's going to deliver. He is the one that that preserves. He is the one that rescued. This God that Daniel served. This God that you got to serve. This God. This king caught it on, caught on to it. We got to serve this king, this God, this Jesus. He's the one that's going to change things. He's the one that's going to keep. This is the king that we're telling people that they need to serve. There is no other God. There is none but Jesus. He's the only one. He's the truth. He's the life. He's Alpha and he's Omega. He's the beginning and he's the ending. He's the first and he's the last. We just sang the song, he's just everything. Jesus is everything. This king is telling you that this God that you serve, every dominion, every kingdom, everything that you in, he's going to be the one to deliver you. That first scripture that I read to you this morning, 2 Peter 2 and 9, the Lord knows how to deliver the just out of temptation. He knew exactly what he was going to do when Daniel got put in that lion's den. He knows how. He knows exactly what he's going to do. He knows what he's going to do to deliver you. He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, out of your test and trial. Don't think that God is up there wondering how he's going to get you out. He ain't got to wonder how he's going to get you out. He said, I made a way. I already got a way out for you. There is a way out for you. But he said also that, and he knows how to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be destroyed. God knows exactly what he's doing. I don't care where you are today, how deep you in trouble, how long you've been in trouble, what you don't got that you're supposed to have. God is with you today. And he's that same God that delivered Daniel. And this ain't stuff ain't just made up. When you get to heaven, you're going to meet Daniel. And Daniel's going to tell you exactly what was going on in that lion's den. He's going to be able to tell you. And we can just only imagine. You know, I can tell you exactly. You'll be able to tell people exactly what went on in your life, in your test, in your trial. Ain't nothing like a testimony. Ain't nothing like a real testimony. You know, I can tell your story, but I can't tell it like you. You can tell somebody else's story, but man, when they get to telling the story, it really means something. It means a whole lot. I know my Redeemer living. I know that when they came to me talking about I got to go to this union meeting, and I ain't trying to say I'm all that, patting myself on the back. But when people said that they was coming to church to pray, I would tell God that, man, people need to pray. You know, the devil tried to give me a call and say, well, we ain't going to have it tonight because I got a union meeting, you know, because some stuff might go down. I ain't going to be able to change it in there. You know, I got to get to the altar like I did before. I knew before when they came to us talking about, oh, you most definitely gone. You only got 2 years. See, all them guys that got all the seniority on. I said, man, can I have that piece of paper? All the stuff that they were saying that they're going to do to us. I brought this thing here, not just on Wednesday night. See, that's God finna make some stuff so serious to us to where Wednesday just ain't going to be enough. Staying at home, I could have did it at home, but I felt compelled to do what I've been doing aforetime like Daniel was doing. I felt compelled to get out here at this church and lay it at the altar. And I would lay this thing at the altar before prayer, Tuesday, Wednesday. Anytime I can get up, I lay it down and say, Lord, I did what the king. Hezekiah said, Lord, all the Sennacherib is talking about, this letter ain't for me, this is for you. And I said, Lord, this is yours. He's talking about you, about what you ain't going to do for me. He's saying, I ain't going to have a job. He's saying that my family going to be on the street. He's saying I ain't going to be able to come to church no more. I mean, I was letting him have it. I just laid it down, and God moved. And so the second time I came to say, Lord, I'll be honest with you. I'll be transparent with you. It was on my mind to pray, but not in my heart to pray about it. Because I just felt that, I said, Lord, you got this. I'm going to be still and know that you God. I'm going to watch you move, Lord. I ain't even prayed about that union meeting Wednesday. We was here praying about other stuff. You know, I said, Lord, I ain't even worried about me. This other stuff that people come in with, that burdened my heart. And I was as I was before, on this altar, crying out to God for God to help people. Crying out for Lindsay, crying out for Leslie, crying out for, I was calling names. Lord, these people need you. You know, I ain't worried about you not having a job for me. You got a job. He got something for me to do. God got something for you to do. We got a job. If you want to work, all you got to do is go and sign an application and to work for Jesus. He'll put you to work. You'll be so tired. Thank you, mother. Just make yourself, just look. Anybody want to sign an application this morning? Anybody want to know who Jesus is this morning? We got some applications, spiritual applications. All you got to do is come up and say, I want Jesus in my life. He'll put you to work. He'll put you to work like never before. He'll take you to places to where you think it's so hard. Lord, I can't handle it. No, you sure can't handle it. But God can handle it. Everything is hard for us, but ain't nothing too hard for God. He'll take you to people that you think you can't win. And you be up there just talking. And they just be breaking down. You be like, look at the Lord move. And then you get out of that conversation. You try to remember what you said. You can't remember a thing that you said. Because it ain't for you. It ain't for your glory. It's for his glory. It's for God's glory. You know, I'm talking about what I know because I've done it. I walked away and, Lord, what I can say? What I say so I can write down and use it on the next person? Don't work like that. That person's situation ain't that person's situation. They got different situations. But Jesus said the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, shall come upon you as my Father's given you, that my Father's given. He said he, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, he going to teach you all things. And he going to bring all things back to your remembrance, that which I've said to you. Either on the pulpit, or audible voice from heaven, or through this word. He's going to bring that stuff right back up in you. And you're going to be out there just going with the flow, sister. Going with the flow of the Holy Ghost. That's what you're going to be doing. It ain't none of you. It ain't none of the king. It wasn't none of Daniel. It was all God. Nobody but Jesus. All God. God trying to tell us something, saints. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, there's so many people are called by his name, I think they forgot who they was called by. He said, if they will humble themselves and pray. That's what Daniel found himself doing, humbling himself. He would humble himself and he was praying. He got to pray. I heard what you were saying in testimony. And all that, it's time to pray. Make that sacrifice. You know? He said, if they will humble themselves and pray, seek his face, turn from their wicked ways. Not necessarily do you out there sinning. You know, I think when a lot of time we look at that scripture and say, turn, and you check yourself, you do your self-evaluation, you think that, no, Lord, I ain't out there doing that kind of stuff. But you ain't praying like you used to pray. You ain't faithful like you used to be faithful. You coming in late, dragging, you know. Well, I ain't coming tonight because of this reason. I've been there. I ain't trying to fuss. I ain't the pastor. That's her job. She get on you. But I'm just simply saying, the wicked ways really is what you stop doing for God. You know, I think when you stop doing something for God, I think you... Some doubt done set in somewhere. Correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor. Elder, y'all correct me if I'm wrong. When you stop serving God like you, something crept in there. Got you off track. But God know how. He know how to deliver the godly out of temptation. He know how to put you back on track too. He know exactly what to do. I think they were over there talking about fathers and things over at the other church. Paul said, though you have 10,000 instructions, but not many fathers. You got a father that will correct you. He will chastise you and get you back where you're supposed to be. So I think that what brother's saying, a lot of folk, he said they have tests after test, trial after trial. He said on Monday, the car break down. Tuesday, the refrigerator go out. Wednesday, the dishwasher go out. Then Thursday, the garage door, he was naming all kinds of stuff. He said, well, that's God getting hold of you. And I believe him. God trying to get your attention. God going to chastise you because he loves you. He loves his children. Don't you love yours? Then you better chastise him. You better get the strap on him. I ain't say kill him. If you love him, and the Bible tells us that any man that don't chastise his child, then that child is a bastard. He's like a child without a father. So you got to chastise, you know. But he said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek his face and turn from their wicked ways. He said, then will he hear from heaven and heal this land and forgive your sins. That's right, Pastor. Because, hey, we have sinned against God when we turn our backs, you know, and let this trouble that we're in, the trouble that's on the horizon, get us out of what we're supposed to be in. Take us off our post, I like to say. I told the brother, I said, man, I got to go call this one brother name, this one co-worker there. I got to go. I said, but I'm not going just for me. I'm going for you, going for you, going for you, going for you. Because all of you all are affected by all of this. Daniel knew what he was doing. You know? He had other people there that loved God, that needed to and wanted to and desired to call on the name of the Lord. He said, I've got to go. God, even though the devil got a plot on your life, God got a plan for you. God bless you this morning. Anybody need prayer? Anybody need to stand in agreement? Nobody needs prayer? We're going to all come up and ask God to help us. To be as we were. Come on, just look back over your life and reminisce how you used to be. You know, that was a time that could nothing keep you away from God. I was telling saints this morning, I said, boy, when we first got saved, if I thought God said something, if I thought he said something, I was going to do it. I was willing to do what I thought God said. God's got a plan for your life. And I'm just going to simply pray. Come on up, bro. Anybody need salvation this morning? Everybody saved? Everybody saved this morning? Everybody loving Jesus? I guess the silent mean yes. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to be bold and say, yes, I love Jesus. You know, I'm not ashamed of my God. You know, he said, if you be ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed to present you before my Father. And you're going to be presented before somebody. But I want to be presented before his Father. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. For it is the power of God to salvation to all that believe it. So I believe that Jesus is the Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the light. Nobody needs salvation today. Everybody say, praise God. Father, I just want to thank you this morning, Lord God, and just pray for the saints, oh God, this morning. Lord God, starting right here, right now with me, Lord God. Lord, I ask, Father God, that you be, that I be found, God, doing, God, what I used to do, Lord God. How I used to pray, God. Lord, how I used to fast, Lord God. How I used to call on you, Lord God. Oh, God, help me, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Help the people, Lord God. Let them know, Father God, that you got a plan for their life, Lord. Let them know, Father God, that they got gifts inside of them, Lord God. Lord, begin to stir up the gifts, Lord God, the callings, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We know, God, that the enemy, God, is plotting against us, Lord. But, God, we don't give him no attention at all, God. We know, God, that he comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. But, Lord, we know also that you came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. And so, Lord, I pray, Father God, this morning, Lord God, that you will help us, Lord God, to get on our post, God, and get busy for you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I believe, God, that there are musicians in this house, Lord. I believe, God, that there's other ministries in this house, Lord. I don't believe, Father God, that you built this house, God. Oh, God, and not put in it, God, what is needed. Except you build a house, Lord God. They that build it labor in vain. So, Lord, we want you to build this house, Lord God. We want your will to be done, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you today, God. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you, Father God, that you are in the lion's den with us, Lord God. You're in the fire with us, Lord God. You won't allow no hurt, God, no harm, God, to come up on us, Lord. And we thank you. We give you praise, Father God. And as we go back, God, to our places, God, of abode, we pray, God, that you be with us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.